shores of El Pacifico. Phil Hendry.
I'll still be a part of the CNN family, hosting several Larry King specials.
He then tried another tactic as though he had very suddenly switched personalities.
Wait, where you going? I'm leaving you. No, you ain't come back.
We're all living a lot longer than anybody ever expected.
World famous Phil Hendry show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. 877-876-PHIL. Joining us this hour is Mr. Raj Fanin. He's a businessman, immigrant businessman living here in Los Angeles, and will be hosting and being a big part of the West Coast Primer on Middle East Custom, subtitled Another Way, happening this weekend. I believe at UCLA, or there might have been another change in venue there. Our number 877-876-PHIL. And let's see. Botox for 16-year-olds to combat wrinkles. Are you ready for that? Well, that's what some people are talking about. I haven't mentioned our website, philhenryshow.com. If you go over there, you get a backstage pass. You can watch as well as listen to our show. That's right. Watch us perform the Phil Hendry Show as well as listen to it at philhenryshow.com. We also have an enormous amount of archival material there, our legacy material. And I just got the word today that we've loaded in. Actually, we're going to start to process December of 2001. There's a whole year there, 2001 and part of 2002, that we're putting into the archives that we've just now begun to process. So that's big. Our 20-year anniversary is coming up, 20-year birthday, so we've got events planned around that, as well as our Phil feed, as well as a guaranteed email response from Phil when you get a backstage pass. PhilHendryShow.com. Okay, so we have, as I mentioned, coming up this weekend, and I'm not sure where this is going to be, in Pasadena, actually, now they're telling me, as a part of a educational seminar on Middle Eastern culture. Raj Fanin joining us, and this is a far-reaching, it has some political overtones, a primer on Mideast culture called Another Way. And Mr. Fanin, how are you? Mr. Fanin, how are you, sir?
Yes, Bill, good. How are you?
Good. Tell me about, what does it mean when you say Another Way, the primer on Mideast culture?
Well, this is nothing too fancy or nothing too difficult to understand. It's a way for us to present to the American people a different way of viewing the world and a different way of being expressing oneself culturally. Of another way is simply to say that things are these days are not going in the direction that they would traditionally go for America. Things have changed, and the world looks like a little bit of a different place. So why not take the initiative as a country, as one of the leading countries in this world, take the initiative and learn this another way, you know?
Now, where is this going to be?
It's going to be at Pasadena, as you mentioned, at the Pasadena Civic Center. And it's not at UCLA as we originally planned. We're moving to the Civic Center there. It's going to be on Saturday, beginning on Saturday morning. It's going to last for 2 days. And there will be a seminar, a cultural display of dress and so forth. And a special seminar that we want to bring to your attention, the one that I be part of is this discussion of the European rejection, the French rejection of the Sharia dress among women. That we think America can embrace in a way, it's a non-offensive way.
When you say Sharia dress, you're talking about the burqa?
Yes, I am.
Okay, now the French have, it looks like the French are going to outlaw the use, the wearing of the burqa. Europeans are rejecting this. So why do you think America would embrace that?
America, I think, as you pointed out last week, Phil, and as a lot of people have pointed out since the World Cup, that America is not Europe. America is America. When Europe rejects something, America can embrace. When Europe embraces something, America can reject. I think the America is not abusive if a woman is allowed the choice to wear this. This is what we mean it.
So you want to give American women the choice to wear a burqa, even if they're not Muslim?
No. But that is a part of the education. In this another way, that there is an option to Christianity. There is an option to a traditional Western dress. There is an option to viewing the war in Afghanistan as a war you must win, because we know now, and you know now, if you look at Afghanistan, this is it's tragic. It seems to be turning into this another Vietnam, unless people did not want it to. And so there is another way. That you don't have to, as I say this in English, you don't have to, you have a saying, win some and lose some, you know.
Well, Americans don't view wars that way, win some and lose some. Americans have generally won wars because we always believed in the fight. In Afghanistan, it would appear that suddenly, for some reason, the American people have lost their, I don't know. I don't know what's happened in my country.
I will tell you that in Afghanistan, if you want to see a war that becomes Vietnam, that is Vietnam. And so what we are going to say, the West Coast primary and Middle East culture another way, is view this is another way. You don't have to win every war, you know.
Well, I mean, Al-Qaeda murdered 3,000 people. They were protected by the Taliban, and we said to the people of Afghanistan that we would get rid of the Taliban and we would help them set up a new government. Now, we abandoned the people of Afghanistan after the 1980s when we had used the Mujahideen to battle the Russians, and we abandoned them when we said that we wouldn't do it again. We've got a lot of I don't know what it is. There's a lot of commitment we have to Afghanistan. There's a lot of payback, you know, that we owe that country. So to say that, well, it's turning into another Vietnam, and why don't we just go ahead and lose it? That's you don't understand what you're saying. I mean, there's a whole generation of Americans that remember that war in Vietnam.
Oh, with no doubt, I understand. But understand you that the Afghanistan war, if this is another Vietnam, it's another loss. You can only do what you can do. America has done what America can do. You can only do what you can do. You're not going to fight this war. This is a different America, from what I can see. And so, America today might be in a position to say, Europe is a rejected America. America can't accept the America. Afghanistan is not necessarily a war that we must win.
Well, I don't see it that way, you know.
But you are only one American. You know, you are just one American. If you look at the public opinion polls, Americans are ready to leave Afghanistan, you know. And this looks for a new way. For this weekend, 4th of July, in America, the West Coast primer on the Middle Eastern custom another way. And what we say is, you know, spend this weekend doing something other than go to McDonald's. And that's the point I wanted to make with you.
Before you make that point, though, I just got to tell you, I don't know how successful you're going to be convincing Americans that Afghanistan is just going to be another Vietnam, so you might as well get out now. And the burqa, because Europeans are rejecting it, Americans ought to embrace it. You know, and especially having this Middle Eastern custom, you know, a primer on Middle Eastern custom on the 4th of July weekend.
This is why we say try a different way. Try a different way now. Don't get upset because it's the 4th of July. Don't get upset because you can't win Afghanistan. Don't get upset because it's America. Try another way. And again, the 4th of July weekend, America spends this time to go to McDonald's, right? To go to a Wendy. To go.
Are you talking about burger joints?
Yes. Because this is at the very heart and soul of this weakness, you know, of American culture, not being able to commit to winning a war, not to recognize a war that you can't win. are not recognized, you can embrace the style of Middle Eastern dress that Europe rejects, and you can re-emphasize your American ways this is another way, you know. And to continue to eat this this slop, you know, Wendy's, Carl's Jr., McDonald's, Burger King, is to continue to sap your strength. So we say, when you come through our primer, do something different. Stay away from this slop that you eat. Look at Afghanistan. It's turning into Vietnam. The America.
All right, so you're asking us to reject fast food, accept that Afghanistan is now Vietnam, and embrace the burqa. Do you really think the American people are going to do something like that?
I think the American people must. I really do feel I don't.
Why must we?
Because you have no choice. You've got to try a different way. You go to this Wendy, you go to this KFC, this Kentucky Fried Chicken, this Pollo Loco, and you eat and eat and eat and eat, and that's all you know. This is all America knows. Try a different way. Try another way.
877, boy, I can't wait to... 877-876-PHIL. You know, there's just certain things that I don't accept. Raj Fareen joining us this weekend, the West Coast Primer on Middle Eastern Custom, Another Way. It's at the Civic Center in Pasadena. It's going to be on the 4th of July weekend. And among other things, they'll be talking about America embracing the burqa for women, how Afghanistan is, in fact, another Vietnam, and our addiction to fast food, how that must be broken. 877-876-PHIL. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry.
877-876-PHIL on the line here with me is Raj Fareen, and we're talking about a forthcoming an event that he and members of his men's club have put together for this coming weekend, the 4th of July weekend, talking about the export of Middle Eastern customer ideas here to the United States. Now, this is, you, as you know, Raj, this is probably something that you must have guessed is going to piss off or at least concern a great many Americans.
No, I don't. Let me tell you why. Because
you don't think that telling Americans that Afghanistan is a Vietnam, that embracing the burqa is a good idea, and then this tell me about this whole idea on fast food.
No. Let me say that these are ideas in time. In my opinion, has come because if you look at America today, they've got this oil that is spewing into the Gulf. You have problem of Obama and Afghanistan. You have so many problems that America can reassert its independence. Why say if Europe is not going to wear a burqa, America can wear a burqa? If Afghanistan is not going to win, this is Vietnam. And we don't have to sit and eat this Wendy, you know, over and over. One of the reasons why we have this 4th of July, because of this hamburger, this kind of thing.
Well, you don't like, or what you're saying, Americans shouldn't eat hamburgers?
No, but this fast food, you know.
All right, so Americans ought to stay away from fast food? I mean, where does that come in? You know, how does that figure in?
Well, I mean, it's a weakness. It's the only thing America seems to know. It's a weakness, you know? I'm going to go get myself a Wendy. I'm going to go get myself a KFC, you know. I gotta go. And get a KFC, you know.
All right, hold on. KFC, Wendy's, I understand all of that. wear the burqa because Europe has rejected it. I might even understand that. Afghanistan's another Vietnam. So what? Get out now?
Well, yeah, sure. You don't want this to...
You know, this country, the United States of America, made a commitment to the people of Afghanistan after the Russians left. What do you think of that?
No, you can't... look, yeah, I know you feel bad about Osama bin Laden. He's a mujahideen for the Russians. And you feel like you dropped the ball. I know people from Afghanistan. I have lived in Afghanistan. Believe me when I tell you, it's no good. It's no good.
What does that mean? What exactly are you saying? Are you saying that the people are not trustworthy?
You don't want to get involved with them because they are a people who grew their economy on heroin. You know, this is smack, you know?
All right, well, that's a whole other point of view. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Donnie in Laverne, Tennessee on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, sir.
I was trying to figure out what today's talking about. It's people in America wearing burqas and stuff like this and a fast food thing.
Yes, sir.
I don't understand what this dude's talking about. I mean, it's just got me. I mean, it's just crazy. I mean... It seems like all these people are trying to just try to get us to do what we just don't need to do. I mean, my wife's sitting here, and she's laughing at me talking about a burqa. I mean, it's just crazy. And I don't even know where he gets off on the fast food being something that's, I mean, what even has that even got to do with Afghanistan and the 4th of July and stuff? I mean, most people grill at home. They don't go to freaking McDonald's and Kentucky Fried Chicken.
All right. Thanks for your call, sir. 877-876-PHIL. We're going to take a break on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Taking another break.
Phil Hendry. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL. We have Harvey Wehrman joining us next hour. The question that I'll be asking him is, what happened, man? He's afraid he's going to be censored by the state bar, and this has to do with a joke that was told at lunch in the courthouse cafeteria in Van Nuys, California, where he is doing a civil. He's actually, advising a civil case. And told a joke that another attorney overheard. 877-876-PHIL. A prodigy age 13 claims age discrimination by the University of Connecticut. This is a child that's 13 years of age, is a sophomore at the University of Connecticut, wanted to go on some kind of an environmental studies trip, and they said he was too young, and he's now being suing because it's age discrimination. He's old enough to go to the university. He may not be old enough to go on this ecological and evolutionary biology field trip. It's a trip to South Africa, and I don't know. I don't know how to answer that. But I will anyway. I don't have an answer, but I'll have one for you in a few minutes. Here is Beth listening to us on WTKK tonight. Beth, how you doing? Welcome to the show.
Hey, Phil, how's it going?
Good, thank you.
Great. I actually just got home from work. It's a little bit late on the East Coast, but I was loving to hear you talking about people driving, and on the highway or wherever, roads. And that are mm-hmm. annoying to you. Because it's a big, huge peep of mine that, I'm sure you have gridlock out there here in the West Coast, but like we have mm-hmm. crazy traffic situations out here on the East Coast as well. But the big thing to me is like you're going on the highway, there's always some, moron going down the, the left lane and the fast lane.
Right.
Blocking.
I think it's
everybody.
The most. Yeah, I think it's the one aspect of the traffic laws that people are most uneducated about. I don't think people are aware. Yeah, you cannot go, and one of the reasons is cops don't enforce it.
No, they don't enforce it.
I don't know what these cops, yeah. You know, yeah, if they could get... I don't know about this whole quota thing, but if a cop is looking for his quota, man, all you got to do is go out there in the morning, rush hour traffic in Boston, Los Angeles, wherever, and you could nail 10, 15 people, man, within 20 minutes who are dragging their ass in that fast lane.
Yeah, but they're looking for people who are speeding, and I think that's the problem. They should be looking for people who are just, like, you know, ignoring the rules of the road. That's the problem.
Yeah.
You know, they're just, like,
Yeah, you know, Beth, I understand an officer's concern for safety. You know, you want to make sure that people are not going to get killed. But I would argue that
Phil Hendry.
Bobby and Steve Dooley from the Western Estates Homeowners Association. The number is 877-876-PHIL. And, you know, I'm sorry, I don't want to get off this, Bobby. You made the statement that you're not God, but you're godlike.
Well, Phil, that we are taking it out of context.
She said she was godlike when it came to making decisions there. Now, you know, you can call yourself anything you want, but the fact is, you painted your home blood red to protest the defeat of the health care bill. You won't let anybody else in the neighborhood paint their house any color because that goes against the rules. But you go against the rules saying, as the president, you're allowed to do that. Why did you say you think you're godlike?
I never really said that I was godlike.
Yes, you did, and I can play the tape back.
What I said was that many people look up to me as if I'm God. And no, I don't think I'm God. But
why? Why do you say that?
Phil, it can be something as simple as this. You can look at the way that I dress. You can look at the way the other women in the community dress, okay? I walk outside in the morning. I'm put together. You see a lot of women going out there. If you want to know why that we have banned the delivery of newspapers to our community, one of the reasons... is that a lot of women will go out there and get the paper in their sweatpants with the...
the rear end all back down.
With the rear end bag down on them. You know, what's the line that you like, Steve, from that movie?
Almost no ass at all, and that bothers me.
I love it. Steve loves that movie. It's called...
Carnal Knowledge.
Carnal Knowledge. Almost no ass at all, and that bothered me. You know that one, Phil?
I know the movie, yeah. What are you talking? You're telling me that the women, they're coming out to get their newspapers in their... sweatpants, and they got no ass because the sweatpants are bagging down?
Because of the lack of presentation. Our home was painted blood red in solidarity with all who supported health care. Now, we have a home that can be seen from the gate. It is blood red, and it will remain that way for 30 days.
And anybody that was in favor of the defeat of health care can't paint their house any color.
You're really making a big deal out of nothing.
You had the cops over there because some guy called you an effing something and said it was effing bull S and all this other stuff, and you said that you were quite frightened, so it really is a big deal, all right?
Well, but I don't think I'm J.C. on the cross.
Yeah, it's a big fan of J.C.
And Steve calls me J.C. now as a joke because everyone thinks that I'm J.C. right off the cross. And I don't think I am.
Ms. Dooley, you may not think that you are, you may not say that you think you are, but a lot of the stuff you're saying, I can see how your neighbors think otherwise. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Kenny in San Antonio. Kenny, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, sir. Go ahead, Kenny.
Hey, how y'all doing this morning?
Fine, sir.
Okay, I got a question. Ma'am, how did you become the Homeowners Association president?
Mm-hmm.
Are you elected?
Yes, I am.
I don't figure you're going to keep your position long. And secondly, how are the rules made? Are the rules, are they not, is it a... Are you going to let me speak, or are you going to keep trying to interrupt me every time I try to talk? Okay,
I'm not
thank
interrupting you.
You.
I'm listening to you.
Okay. Is How are the rules decided?
Don't you have your thoughts? You know what it is that you want to say, right?
What do I want to say? I want to know if you can answer the question.
Right.
How are the rules decided to live in your association?
What? How are the rules decided to live in our association? Well, you buy a home here, and you automatically become a member of the homeowners
association. The rules that are in place, how were they decided?
Oh, those were drawn up by our homeowners association when the community was open. That was in 1996. And, of course,
okay.
They've been amended, and they can be amended by a two-thirds majority of our homeowner council, but I do have veto power.
All right, you have veto power. Can they override your veto?
Are?
I want to ask a question here, though, Kenny. Can they override your veto?
Technically they can, but no one's really tried.
Man, okay. So, how many people live in your association?
What do you mean
no one's going to try that?
No one's going to try and override a veto that... I don't understand your question.
You have veto power, but no one's going to try and override it.
I don't think anyone's got... I mean, no one would dare go up...
And nobody's got enough sense to override her there.
Well, no one would really dare go up against what I've been able to build here and what I've done. They know. I don't... You know, you're making it sound like I'm a dictator or something.
You are, man. Well, I'm sorry. Staying plain and simple. There's no two ways about it. I live in a free America, and trust me, you are a dictator.
Well, no, I'm not. A dictator was Adolf Hitler, and I don't do that. I simply say to people...
You just made rules for everybody else that you don't have to follow. Even though it is an executive decision, as you say, you still made rules that everybody else has to follow except you. You get to listen to all the information overload that you want, but you won't allow anybody else to. That is the basis for a dictatorship, ma'am.
Kenny, just because you watch an episode of the Sean Beck Show doesn't mean you know what a dictator am or what it is.
Who's Sean Beck?
I think you were referring to Bill Beck.
You watch Bill Beck, right? And you think you know what a dictator are?
What a dictator are?
I learned what a dictatorship was way back when I was in second and third grade. Yeah, Bill Beck.
Well, I know that you watch the Bill Beck Show, though, don't you?
That's got nothing to do with it. We all know what a dictator is. You just mentioned Adolf Hitler. That guy was around before Bill Beck or whoever it is you're talking about. So we know what a dictator is.
Do I put people in ovens and turn them into soap? No. Do I slave labor from Poland? No. Do I?
Oh, come on. You know what I'm saying. You won't let them... they can't deliver newspapers. They can't... All right. The bandwidth.
She won't let them on the Internet to get the information because she's scared of the information.
Mm-hmm.
Because once people have information, they become dangerous. That is
we can't let them have certain kinds of information. I cannot allow people to have... I could... Kenny, if you lived in our community, you know I couldn't have... allow you to have certain information. It would be dangerous in your hands.
I am very dangerous because I am educated. Yes.
But I will say...
That is a problem
educated.
For you.
Well, then why would you... If you're educated, why do you have to have more bandwidth? But I've allowed two Jews to own homes here, so don't call me, a Nazi.
You've allowed two Jews to live there. Well, that's fantastic.
Would Hitler own that?
Okay.
Hitler has nothing to do with this conversation, man.
You called
this
me Hitler.
No, we didn't call you Hitler.
You did that, not me. I think you were a dictator. And that is exactly what you're doing because you're limiting
information.
You're controlling people's lives. You're getting the result that you want regardless of the means. Am I wrong here? Regardless of the means, you're getting the...
You are wrong. Yes, you are wrong. We allow freedom of speech. Of course we do. This is America. I'm just saying that I had an impulse to paint my home blood red. Big deal. What color are you going to paint your home if you support the defeat of healthcare? There's no real color.
Well,
and I thought, I thought blood red would represent what, you know, what the Republicans have done. World Jewry has nothing to do with this. And
world what?
Jewry.
Yeah, the we don't call her a Jewess. The lady that lives down the street.
You know something? I want to get off the Hitler thing, okay? And the Jewess and the Jewry and all that stuff.
See, listen to him laughing like you remember the SS. Listen to you laughing like you're watching them going into the oven.
God almighty, you're crazy. You are out of your mind, you know that?
This man was laughing like he was a member of the Hitler Youth.
I may not want to live there, but I'd really like to come up there on the weekend and sit around a campfire and smoke a big old fat one with them and sing Kumbaya like they must do every weekend. Because
Do I look like I go to the campgrounds and run by one of those funny little Indian necklaces? Excuse me.
All right. I appreciate your call, Kenny. One of the things that I don't like, Bobby, was the whole Jewish thing.
That was Steve.
I was only kidding.
No, you weren't kidding. And all this stuff about Hitler, nobody's saying that you're Hitler. What I'm saying is, just as that other gentleman was trying to point out, you are controlling information when you don't allow a certain width of, you know, bandwidth, and you are controlling information if you don't allow newspapers to be delivered.
I told you we allow two Jews to live here.
Well, all right. Is that the quota?
What's the quota this month, Steve? I think it's...
877, thank you very much. 877...
You hung up on her.
But don't you think I know, Bud, when I hang up on people... 877-876-PHIL. What?
You're on line three.
Ms. Dooley, I don't want to talk to you anymore.
You know, you let the record show that you hung up on me. Let the record also show that you'll be enjoying yourself rolling around on the Legion skillet.
Oh, okay. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry show.
What does that mean? Oh, okay. You don't get it?
No, I don't.
Phil Hendry. Phil Hendry.
On the line with me now from the Aberdeen High School Gymnasium, where they have a communication center set up, is Glenn Markham. Glenn with Markham Far and Wide Travel in Fort Lauderdale. And Glenn, how are you this evening?
I'm very good. I'm a lot better than when I spoke to you earlier in the week, Phil.
We did speak with Glenn earlier this week when the story broke about some kind of what they thought primate in Baker County there. And in the town is actually McClenny and Glen St. Mary, I think, two towns affected by some sighting of a primate. At the time we talked about this story, this wild monkey or bands of wild monkeys that you thought were out there, you were very concerned that the image of Florida might be tainted. Among people who potentially would travel to Florida on vacation, that people are panicking over seeing things. Is that correct, sir?
Well, I think that's a fair statement. I have since been in touch, and the reason why we, if I could give you a little background, Phil.
Go ahead.
The reason why we have set up this communication center here at Aberdeen High School, I want to thank Principal Jeffco and his staff for allowing us to use the gymnasium for our communication center is we are in touch with travel agencies up and down the state of Florida, and we are also in turn communicating with travel agencies throughout the East Coast as well as the Midwest and in other southern states to give them as much information as we've got and to get as much information as we can get out of the local Baker County Sheriff's Department, as well as the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission. I spoke with Officer Ken Holmes. He told me that he doesn't feel it's an orangutan or any kind of monkey.
Now, the other night, sir, you said you thought there was a band of them.
The reports that we had gotten, and that's why we've decided to set up this communication center. We've got information coming in. County from all over the county as to whether there is more than one ape, or is it an ape, is it a monkey, is it a baboon. To most people, it doesn't make any difference. It doesn't make any difference to me whether it's an orangutan or a baboon, so long as we know what it is. And if it is a primate, if it's a member of the ape family, and there is more than one or two or three, if there is a band of them, And we get reports like we had the other night that they were trying to pry open bedroom windows, or they were trying to get into through kitchen doors. And this, of course, is going to shock you. And
well, at the time when you were telling me about a band of apes trying to pry open bedroom windows, it sounded a little bizarre to me, as I'm sure it did to my audience. I mean, are you still holding to that information?
Well, that's why we set up this communication center. We're told now by Officer Holmes that he said it was a big orange ball of fur, and of course I said to him at that time, that doesn't really give me a lot of information. We were getting a lot of reports from all over the county in Greenberry. We got a report of a ball of fur or something orange. Over in Tennyson, we had an account of something hairy and orange that was running around, so we didn't know what this was. And then when Ken says to me, well, it's a big orange ball of fur, I said, well, you're going to have to give me something else. I can't live on that. And he finally identified it. He thinks it's a fox squirrel, and I've never heard of that. But at this hour...
Are you feeling better about it?
I would say at this hour we are feeling better. We're feeling more confident as the information is coming in, but it's coming in very slowly.
Well, what if you don't mind me asking, what's the big deal? I mean, if you can, is it one squirrel?
Well, this is what we're trying to determine. If it's more than one, if it is a band of these, if it is a herd of these, if it's a herd of squirrel that is for whatever reason using its numbers to get into the town and to do whatever a squirrel's going to do when it gets into town. I don't know what squirrels do when they pull into town, or it's probably the wrong term to use, but when a squirrel hits town, or I guess wanders, strays into town is probably the best word I could use. It's a rodent, and...
So, but the other night, you didn't know whether these things actually existed or not.
That was our concern at that time, because we felt, and that's why we've set the communication center up, we want to assure all the travel agencies up north that they can tell anyone who is traveling to Florida that the people in Baker County are not, you know, not hallucinating. They're not, as we thought, a little retarded or mentally have a mental problem. There does seem to be something out there. And
yeah, because you thought that people were seeing things, that stories would leak out, that people were seeing monkeys running, as you put it, through the moonlight.
Well, yeah, the silhouette, I think what I said was the silhouette of apes running through the moonlight. But now I'm told, and I got a report here, what?
Got another call in, let's see.
All right, that's Bob Webley. Bob, if you could come in now, and Bob will give you the report that he's got, Phil. This is Bob Webley. This is Phil Hendry. He's on the radio.
Mr. Henry, how are you?
I'm good, sir. You're up a little close on the phone.
Yes, sir. We have, right now, the report of a fox squirrel, not an orangutan. And that's been the report since 4:43 with the Fish and Wildlife phone back here. That's Fish and Wildlife. So if you need more information, talk to Kim. People, all right?
Yes, sir. Sir, it's a little difficult to hear you. I know that it's probably busy.
Well, I'm sorry. Well, give it back over to Ken. This is Glenn Markham. Glenn Markham.
So I hope that helped you out, Phil. Did you get that?
Well, it was hard to hear, but he said that it was a ball of fur. It's not an orangutan.
That is our understanding. It's not an orangutan. So we're very relieved, and certainly we don't want the people of Florida to be seen as hallucinating anything or batty or something like that. And again, Bob Webley with more information, if I could have him.
I understand, but I'm having a hard time understanding him.
Mr. Hendry says he's having a hard time.
Phil, I just wanted to tell you, Ken Holmes has told us. Hold on for just a minute, Phil. Roger, Fox and Elshane. All right, I got the word now. Give me the phone back. I'm sorry, Phil. He started to do something that we asked him not to do. And
what was that?
Well, he started to make radio sounds. We don't have a radio here. And Bob,
can I say something?
Go ahead.
I did not. I do that because I want people to know that we do have radio and we do have active radio communication, but I am not near the radio now, so I pretend as if there's a radio. I'll say this. Roger, flip the transponder. And I don't know why that's wrong.
Well, I think it, if I could say, Phil, I don't mean to have, you know, air our dirty laundry here.
Well, if you gentlemen are having a conversation about something a little bizarre here, I just wanted to know about this.
Well, let me just say, Bob Webley is one of my, he's my right-hand man, and I have worked with him closely over 6-7 years in the travel business. He said to me that he wanted to assure everyone that we did have two-way communication with the Florida Fish and Wildlife people, and then when they did identify what this furball was or this orange thing that was going up trees, that they'd be with us. Now, because we don't have access to that radio equipment that's in the was set up in the locker room here at the gym, he said that he would make radio noises, make it sound like we have a radio. And I said, that's fine, you can do that, but I don't think it's going to be honest. And he said he'd go ahead and do it.
Well, when you say make radio noises...
Well, he's saying all that nonsense.
Well, we're talking about 51.5. That's what I meant, Phil.
Don't yell into the phone. If you could get on an extension, Bob Webley will get on an extension.
All right, I don't think it's necessary for him to make radio noises like he's got a real radio.